Main Street Podcast is brought to you by Enchanting Escapes by Lori. Lori and her team are there to help you plan your dream vacation. So whether it's Disney, Universal, or another destination, the Wolfpack can leave the details to them and enjoy the beauty of your destination without the hassle of the planning. Now, I'm sure you're asking yourself, Wolf, why in the world would I pay someone to plan my vacation? You give out these great tips, these Wolf tips. Well, luckily, this is a completely free service to utilize. Having to pay someone more to travel, be a travel agent, is a complete misconception. Utilizing the master planning of Lori or one of her team members will actually save you money by always price monitoring and applying deals or promotions to your reservation. They are also the ones that are going to stay on hold for hours so that way you do not have to. Folks, we talk a lot about time, money, financial responsibility. This is a great way to continue to monitor that. Disney actually pays them to take care of your every travel need. And they're also there to deal with any problems that may arise while you're visiting the parks. So instead of spending your valuable time at the front desk, you can be in the parks with your family while Lori is on the phone dealing with any problem. If you're interested in a free quote, when you speak to Lori, let her know the Wolf sent you by simply using the promo code WOLF. Head over to www.enchantingescapesbylori.com and let Lori help you start planning your dream vacation today. Again, that's www.enchantingescapesbylori.com. Hiya, pals, and welcome to the show. I am, of course, the Wolf of Main Street, and you are listening to the Wolf of Main Street podcast, which can be found on all of your favorite listening apps like Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and, of course, our main platform, Anchor. I just want to take a second, and this isn't a plug for Anchor at all. Rather than just trying to encourage others to start a podcast, I can't tell you all enough how much this medium has meant to me over the course of the last year and a half. And I just want to encourage other people to think about doing it and doing it as well, because I think that there's such a therapeutic sense in doing something like this and just talking about something that you enjoy and that you like and that you love. So if you aren't on the podcast forum, or if you aren't, you know, mentally in a great headspace, find a medium that speaks to you. Like, I think about Piano Rob a lot when I say stuff like this. Like, he was stripped from his job and then given an opportunity to work and do something that he really loved, and he found his audience. And, you know, anytime that anyone has the opportunity to do something like that, I strongly encourage, and I hope that more people can do it. And Anchor is free. It is $0.00. Every single time that I use it, there's no threshold, there's nothing bared to it. So if you've thought about starting a podcast, if you thought about starting anything, just go out and do it. Today's the day. So Wolfpack, in this episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about what I've been watching. I want to go over some news, and I also want to talk a little bit about the FastPass system. And then I'm ending today with a fun activity, which is actually was not really stolen, but Brian Lee, who I had on last week, gave me this idea, and he sort of said that for every attraction, he has what he calls like how long he would wait for a particular attraction. And this is a little bit different, in my opinion, from, you know, would you wait, or I've almost forgotten what we've called it in the past. But so for me, this is how long is my line. And I will be doing that later on in the show. But the first thing that I want to talk about is a little bit about the stuff that I've been watching. And it's Tuesday, so it's one of my favorite days of the week because I get the day off from work. And I went and I played a round of golf today with my buddy John. And I came home, I had a little sandwich, and I found myself looking for something to watch. And I ended up on what is called The Secret of Wales. And for those of you that have been listening to the podcast or just know me personally, I'm infatuated with whales. I think they're so incredible. They're so unique. They are astonishingly smart. And I found myself watching the first episode. The executive producer of this series is actually James Cameron. And the first episode was actually about orcas, which is, you know, that's my favorite whale. So not to sound too cheesy or weird, but that is my favorite whale. But I found myself, you know, kind of going back to like the kid who loved Free Willy and just enjoyed whales in general. So I want to just recommend this if you are interested or just have any type of curiosity about whales. This is a really cool series. James Cameron actually says something at the end that really struck me and I found really fascinating. He says that anytime that someone that is part of this team gets into the water with these animals, there's an opportunity that the camera may find something or catch something that has never been seen before. And that just really struck me. Like, that is so incredible that we know so little about these animals that there's stuff that they're capturing for the first time ever on camera. So that to me is very, very amazing. It's just amazing. So if you're looking for something new to watch, something relaxing, something that's sort of can entice the creative mind or just, something to chill out and just watch and sort of take in. The Secret of Whales was what I ended up watching today. I found it really fascinating and really cool. And I'll probably continue watching the series when Jen isn't around. She's not really into the docu-series stuff, but for me, whales, I've always been fascinated and intrigued by whales and orcas specifically. So it's actually on my bucket list. Ashley Sheriff, who I'm going to shamelessly plug, and I'm excited to say that she started a podcast of her Disney bucket list, who we had on a couple of weeks ago, and she said that she was going to start it, and she has. And just want to say, great job, keep it up. But on my bucket list is to someday see orca whales in their natural environment. I'd love to head out to Washington or New Zealand or, Norway, which probably would never happen. But I'd love to see orca whales in their natural habitat. I think that would be so incredible. I have also watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So if you're not listening to Earth's Mightiest Weirdos, which airs every Monday at 8:30, please go check it out. I'll reserve most of my thoughts for you to go and check that out, because I not only appreciate the forum that we have available to us to constructively criticize, give our personal preferences and thoughts to this show. I will be honest with you, Wolfpack, I didn't care for this show. I consider myself a fan of Marvel. I think that it's a good show, but it wasn't great. There were things on it about it that just didn't strike me, didn't hit with me. I think a big part of that is the fact that they didn't have sort of a big evil villain. They just didn't have anyone that really sat there and tried to be the demise of everything that was going on. And that just, to me, just didn't hit as well as I think it could have. There were awesome elements within this story that tackled things like race, tackled things like prejudice, and I thought that for the most part, Disney did a phenomenal job of tackling those issues and presenting them in a way that made sense to the everyday casual viewer. And what I can speak very highly of is I think that the group that I had the ability to sit with every week on Earth's Mightiest Weirdo, I think they did a great job of tackling those issues and discussing them in a manner that was very graceful, very elegant. And we talked about the things that were in front of us without getting into an argument. It didn't become political, and it certainly didn't feel as though we were disrespectful to anyone at any time. So really appreciated that show. And not only that, but I really appreciate the team. Last night we actually had a familiar face, Brian Ferguson, who you'll remember, Wolfpack, as the gentleman who put together the fight card with me, round two. I also got to hang out with Brian Lee and Marky Mark from United We Fan, which within the next week or so, be on the lookout. We were able to do a Office episode, which I love The Office. So I was able to hang out with those two guys. We were able to put an episode together. I'm excited for that to come out so I can share it with you. I also get to hang out with Mark Valentine, which is always awesome to hang out with him. He's got some really creative and really awesome insights into this show. And I also got to hang out with my co-host on Disney News Tonight, Dwayne, who loved this show. He was absolutely, I mean, it moved him to tears. And I certainly felt at times where that was coming from. So just a really good group of guys. I also get to hang out, I mentioned him early, but I got to hang out with Piano Rob as well throughout the course of this series, which was a lot of fun as well. And I think what makes us all really unique is we all have different perspectives on the show itself. I sat on the fence of, I didn't really care for it. It was okay. I think the season finale actually brought a lot of the questions and a lot of the things that I sort of had issues with the show to a close. And I thought it did a much better job towards the end than it did in the beginning. The beginning dragged on. There was too much dialogue. There wasn't enough action. And my expectations for the show going in was I thought that there would be more action. I thought there would be less dialogue because WandaVision was such a speculative show and there was so much dialogue that to sort of you were enhancing and trying to discover and trying to figure out every single word that was said. Did it have a double meaning? What was really going on? So I sort of expected Falcon and the Winter Soldier to be a little bit more direct, a little bit more cutthroat, maybe isn't the right word, but I just expected it to have a little bit more action, and it didn't. And it fell flat. And that is not to say that I didn't respect the journey or respect the characters in any way, sense, or form, but it just didn't sit with me very well. Mighty Ducks Game Changers, everybody. I'm still watching this. I'm still enjoying the heck out of it. I got to talk about it with John Hill a couple weeks ago, and this show has been so phenomenally fun. I really enjoy it, and I look forward to continuing to watch it every Friday when it comes out. So I mentioned it before, and I'll mention it again. I'm still more excited about the Mighty Ducks Game Changers series than I am about anything that Falcon and the Winter Soldier may put out in the near future. So, and that's not to say like their movie, like I'll probably be very excited for a film, but in terms of a limited series or a series, I'm more excited for Mighty Ducks Game Changers. The other exciting news that I have, and this is actually pretty funny, and I think a lot of the fans of Jennifer, my wife, will appreciate this. So the other night I was getting some work done, and I just had in the background, I had Avengers Endgame on, and I actually found that Jen kind of stuck around and was watching a piece of it, and she became very interested. She started asking a couple questions, and last night she actually said to me, "So the Avengers, do they have any affiliation with Deadpool?" So I had to explain a little bit about how Deadpool fits into the equation, how it is Marvel, but it's not on the same page yet. And she's like, "All right, well, maybe I'll watch something from them." And I struggled with like what to choose because she needed the funny elements of the film to really shine. So I said, as much as I know a lot of you Marvel heads are probably going to yell at me for doing this, I started her on Infinity War. So we started that last night. And I just looked at it as hopefully she'll see one or two characters and say, "All right, I really liked them, or I really liked him, or I think he's really handsome. So where does he come from? Where does his story start? How can I learn more about him?" And then that'll develop into wanting to know more about the entire MCU and all the different phases. So that's the exciting stuff that's going on in my house right now. But I did just want to share that with you. I do want to share a couple pieces of news because while I save most of my news stories over for Diz News Tonight, which airs every Tuesday at 8 o'clock with my host, Dwayne Willie, who's the nicest, most kind guy I've ever met in the world. I did just want to share with you the People Mover is reopened and then promptly closed a few moments later. However, the People Mover is back in operation. It does seem like they figured out some of the issues that were going on with this. However, I learned shortly thereafter and haven't had a chance today to do an update, but the People Mover did reopen. It was working back up again, and people were able to get on, which I think is very exciting. You'll find out later in my how long is my line that the People Mover is probably my longest line at Magic Kingdom Park. So also just want to talk about there was another accident. So this is the second accident on the Skyliner, and my message here is just simply be weary when you get onto this. I think that it's a comfortable ride. I haven't experienced any issues. Actually, when the first issue that they had, when the first accident occurred, we were actually probably about an hour off of the ride itself. So I would just say be weary when you get on there that they are still having intermittent issues. Like they've had two now, so I can't say it's a big issue. But anytime that a mode of transportation isn't working at the proper rate or proper speed or whatever the issue was, it is just something to be weary of, especially if you're going on there with small children or, you know, grandparents, elderly, whatever the case may be. So just be weary, when you're getting on there, because it can be temperamental is maybe the best way to put it. Also, in sort of reopening news, the Boardwalk is going to be reopening on July 2nd. So that's exciting stuff. So the Boardwalk has slowly become one of my favorite deluxe resort stays that we've stayed at, Jennifer and I. And I would almost 100% recommend it over the beach club and the yacht club. But again, that's just my opinion. I think that the beach club and the yacht club it's sort of how I similarly compare the contemporary to Grand Floridian. It's the beach club and the yacht club just have a little more upscale people that go there that I sometimes struggle with in terms of getting along, in terms of communicating, and not even necessarily getting along, but I just feel as though they judge me a little bit harder than I judge people. And that's just my opinion. Second little piece here. Again, if I haven't already mentioned it, my buddies over at United We Fan and I got together. Let's see, this was passed on Sunday, and they've got an episode of me coming out. I'm excited to share that with you. I got to talk about The Office, so it's coming soon. Definitely keep an eye out for it. I'm going to be sharing out in as many groups as possible, so definitely keep an eye out for that. And yeah, I think with all of that said, I'm going to just jump right in. Today's episode will probably be a little bit shorter than some of the other stuff that I've been putting out, but I'm flying solo today, and I wanted to do that. I do have a couple of guests that are lined up, and I've sort of put them on hold. And it's just simply because I've got sort of a busy schedule. Work has been absolutely crazy. So I just wanted to take a step aside. I wanted to go golfing today. I didn't want to have to line up with anybody. And I also just don't want to steal anybody's thunder. I realize that so many shows have guests, and I don't want to step on anyone's toes. So sometimes for me, just being able to do this and hang out with myself and my own thoughts for a little while is something that I need. It's very, very therapeutic. So once again, I can't stress enough, if you aren't doing a podcast or you aren't doing something for your own mental health, please take a few moments to figure out what you need to do to just be happy, feel good, and get some thoughts out for a little while. So so let's jump right in. And again, this is How Long Is My Line. And I'm starting like I usually do over at Magic Kingdom. And I'm also for maybe better or worse. And I've had a lot of people tell me now that the fact that I go right is very wrong, but I go right when I go to Magic Kingdom. I love Tomorrowland. And I think that I've discovered in when I was doing this, that I think there is one land in particular that has a great number of rides and it's well themed. And I can't even necessarily picture anything else within this area. So excited to share that with you. But first and foremost, let's take a right. We're heading down to Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin, which Tomorrowland is probably the area in which I could re-theme or revamp the easiest. I think that Buzz Lightyear is still okay here. I don't foresee it leaving anytime soon. However, I could foresee in the near future a revamp for this particular ride. Now, when we're talking about how long I'm going to be waiting for it, how long my particular line is, I'm going to say the line here for me is 40 minutes. And I've had a few people say, well, wouldn't you wait 45 if it was 45? And it's funny, when you really think about that, the additional 5 minutes and the just the change of like the overall number, it does something to your mind. That's the way I look at it, at least. So for me, 40 minutes here for Space Ranger Spin is about as long as I'll wait for it. I think it's a cute attraction. I think it's a great way to get competitive with the people in your group. It's an awesome way to interact with the others in your group as well. But for me, 40 minutes for this ride, I'd love to see them take the technology that they have from Toy Story Mania and maybe try to shift it into this ride. I don't think it deserves the screens and I love the artwork. I love the paintings, but I do think that I'd like it to be easier to score points, because for me, I struggle with the laser and knowing that it's mine. So if there was a way that I could know that, you know, whatever I'm shooting off was actually mine and I knew where it was hitting, that to me would be really cool. So if they could figure that out, I think this ride becomes a 10 out of 10. It would be one of the coolest competitive attractions in anything that I've done. So deserves a place, but 40 minutes is my line here. The next one is Carousel of Progress. And I don't think in the numerous amounts of times that I've been on the Carousel of Progress, I've ever waited more than 15 minutes. And I have no problem waiting 15 minutes for the Carousel of Progress. Like we've talked about, this is an awesome attraction to get out of the elements. So whether it's hot or cold or rainy, this is an awesome attraction to get in and warm off or cool off or dry off and sort of have an opportunity to see something that was part of the original park. Now, if I was to retheme this, I think that something with WandaVision would be really cool. If we could go through the different series of sitcoms that ABC has put out over the years, I think that would be really interesting. But there's so many things that they could do within this, and I think WandaVision the television show that they put out would be an awesome, you know, step towards something different. You know, when we talk about Tomorrowland, really the element there should be tomorrow, and tomorrow should be seen as the future here. So that's my sort of opinion of it. So 15 minutes. I mean, like I said, if it was 20, I'd probably still wait. The Carousel of Progress is one of those rides and attractions that you should do at least once. And I sort of realized right now, as I'm talking, that if you've listened to me in the past and I haven't said this, please know that I mean this genuinely. If this is your first time going to Walt Disney World, take everything in that you can. If you can ride Carousel of Progress twice, do it. Take everything in. Don't take my wait time or how long I would wait for something for gospel. Take the experiences as they come, wait in those lines, take in those attractions, gauge the reactions of the people that are going with you for the first time, and find out what you love, because I think that's one of the things that I genuinely enjoy so much about Walt Disney World is every time I go, something new happens. And for someone like me, who's been so frequently, it gets even more fun when you start to try to figure out what those things are. So don't just listen to me and say, oh yeah, well, the wolf said 40 minutes for Buzz Lightyear, so it's at 50 right now, so I can't go. No. You're missing the point. I want you to wait. I want you to go onto this attraction. I want you to go check it out. And if it happens to be 40 minutes, just know that you've lucked out. That's a great wait time. But take everything in for the first time with the people that you love and that you care about. I think that's super, super important. So the next ride in this area is the People Mover. The People Mover is the one ride in Tomorrowland that I would not change all that much. I love the People Mover. You could tell me I need to wait 3 hours for the People Mover. Actually, I'll go even this farther. You could tell me that I need to virtually queue at 7 a.m. and get up and make sure that I'm like one of the first, you know, 30,000 people or whatever it may be that are going to Magic Kingdom that day, and I need to swipe and I need to get into the virtual queue. I would be up at 6:30 ready to try to get my spot on the People Mover. I love the People Mover. It is the ride that I think I look at and I say, when I get on there, I am truly on vacation. I love, now that I'm more experienced Walt Disney World goer, I love seeing all the people frantically trying to make fast passes or trying to make reservations, and you know, and I think the other thing that I really enjoy, and I'll get into Tomorrowland Speedway a little bit as well, but I love seeing the kids like driving for the first time, or what I think is their first time driving on Tomorrowland Speedway when I'm on the People Mover. So there's so many elements of the People Mover that just really make me feel and know that I'm on vacation and I'm at one of my favorite places in the world. So the Astro Orbiter. Now I would like to thank James and Sarah over Mouse Ears and Magic. They gave us a tip not too long ago, and it's something that I still need to take action on. However, it has allowed me to take a different look at something like the Astro Orbiter. I can't say or even really remember the last time that I was on this attraction. However, what I will say is that James and Sarah provided this insight, and I don't mean to give out all the really great tips, even though that's part of the reason why I started the show, but get on there at night and take it in. And that is something that I intend to do the next time that I'm in Disney World, is to get on the Astro Orbiter in the evening time and take it in for what it is. I am shamelessly one of those people who looked at the Astro Orbiter and thought, oh, there's just another Dumbo. So I do intend to look at it in a different light the next time that I'm there. And that is one thing that I think this medium has really done for me, is I've been able to take my opinions of things, and because of someone like James and Sarah, I've been able to look at it differently and say, hey, you know what? I can see where you're coming from with the whole Dumbo thing, but try it here. Try it in this setting and see if it works better for you. So I'm excited to do that on my next trip. So Astro Orbiter, I would say for me right now, the way that I am, I'm not waiting any more than 15 minutes. And truthfully, it's not even something that in the past, I would say 4 to 5 years, that I've waited at all for. So, but again, thank you, James and Sarah, for providing an insight for me to do something different and look at something differently, because I do intend to do that the next time I'm in Disney. Space Mountain. Now, this is one of my favorite roller coasters in Magic Kingdom. It's part of the reason why I go right first. Space Mountain, to me, I have walked up and it has been 60, 90, 75 minutes. And at 90 minutes, I am waiting. If it's over 90, I'm probably walking away. But 90 minutes for the Space Mountain, I think, would be really cool. And again, like I said, if it's 90 minutes, you've kind of lucked out, because I've seen it higher at 150, 125. So at 90 minutes for me, that's when I'm comfortable still walking up and getting on. Anything less than that, I'm probably really excited. So if I had to think of a Space Mountain retheme, if I had to like redo it, I do think that Iron Man would be really, really cool. But obviously with sort of agreements and contracts and all that stuff, that's not possible. But what I do think would be cool, and I've said this before, I do wish that they would do something more with Mike and Sully over in Monsters, Inc. So I'd love for them to do something here with that. I think that they have a potential to go through, you know, different doors, through different portals, if you will, to see different elements of rooms that you could go through. You know, you could scare the kids when you're screaming. I think there's something within that for Mike and Sully, and I think that would be really, really cool. The Tomorrowland Speedway, which I know I talked a little bit about on the People Mover, but again, the Tomorrowland Speedway has so many fond memories for me. I can, you know, recall the pictures and recall sort of vague memories of getting on this attraction with both of my parents, where they controlled the pedals, but I was in charge of the steering wheel, and I could barely see over the steering wheel, and just really fond memories on this ride. So anytime that I can get on there when we're down there now, I try to cherish them and just try to take them in. I especially like getting on with my wife. And I would say for this particular attraction, 35 minutes is going to be my line here. And 40, again, it's 5 minutes, but it's 40 minutes. It's amazing how 5 minutes changes your perception of what time really is. It's kind of crazy. But Tomorrowland Speedway, 35 minutes is my max here. If I'm leaving Tomorrowland Speedway, that means I'm heading up towards the Teacups. Now, the Teacups is another one of those attractions where I don't necessarily get on every single time. However, what I will say is that maybe every other trip, I want to get on at least once just to take it in. But I'm going to be honest with you folks, after I go on the Teacups, I am groggy, I am dizzy. And most of the time, after about an hour, I'm hungry. So the Teacups ends up costing me more than anything else. So what I would say is that I'll probably wait 15 minutes when I'm in the mood to go on Teacups, but probably best that it's towards the end of the day, right before an hour before dinner. So that way I'm not investing any more than I have to. But the Teacups is a cute attraction, and I don't know that it could be anything else. And what's interesting, and I started to think about this as I did this episode, but Fantasyland to me is probably the most well-constructed area right now in Walt Disney World, in Magic Kingdom, because I don't know what else you would put in the areas that are taken up by it already. So, you know, that's true with Dumbo. So if I'm heading over towards Dumbo, I would probably still wait in line if it was 35 minutes. I would even venture to say 40 here. 40 minutes is about right, because I think that this is one of those rides that I think they do such a great job advertising. I think that there's so many cool things that you can see, you know, when you get up to the top, and it's just a cute ride. You know, and the element of being on a flying elephant, I think, is something that most people are pretty amazed by. So Dumbo for me, 40 minutes. And I, again, sort of like Teacups, I don't know that I could foresee anything else here. The area of Fantasyland, and I really do stand by this right now, is probably the most well-constructed themed area of Magic Kingdom. And maybe I have to take a deeper look into it at some point, but I think it may be one of the best themed areas out of all four parks. So that's something to consider. If I'm over near Dumbo, I'm usually going to start walking down towards Little Mermaid's Under the Sea. And I really enjoy this attraction. I am one of those people who sings at every corner when there's a new song. So for me, I'm going to probably wait 45 minutes for this. I really enjoy it. I love singing the songs. My wife enjoys singing the songs. And I think if I walk up and it's 45 minutes, I'm definitely waiting in line. So If I'm leaving this area, I can go one of two ways, but I'm gonna circle back and head towards Winnie the Pooh. And I think Winnie the Pooh, again, is just one of those rides. Like, I can't foresee anything else there. They'd have to completely reconstruct Fantasyland if they started changing any of these attractions. So, interestingly enough, I do think that I'm gonna probably wait about 40 minutes for Winnie the Pooh. I mean, I grew up with those characters. Winnie the Pooh, Owl, Tigger, Eeyore. 40 minutes for me on this ride. Absolutely. And that's without even really questioning it. I'd probably even do 45. So yeah, 45 minutes. Yeah, 45 minutes for Winnie the Pooh. The Seven Dwarf Mine Train. Now, this is another one of those rides, folks, that I have walked up and seen 135 minutes, 140 minutes. I've seen darn near close to 2 hours. 2.5 hours, excuse me. So I would venture to say for me, 75 minutes is my line here. I don't know that I'm going over that. And even 75, that extra 15 minutes from the hour is a little much. But 75 minutes, it's a cute attraction. I do wish it was a little bit longer. I think everybody sort of feels that way about it after they've ridden it at least once. But it's cute. It's a good attraction. It's the one that I think everybody sort of runs to in the morning and tries to get to. So, yeah, 75 minutes here. And again, I can't foresee anything else within this particular area. So, Fantasyland, you're genuinely surprising me right now. let's see, a Prince Charming's Carousel. Another honest truth. I haven't been on the Prince Charming's Carousel probably in about 5 or 6 years. I think I went on the first time that I went back as an adult with Jen, and I want to say we waited about 10 minutes. It wasn't long. This is a really beautiful attraction. The artwork, whenever I see really great paint or really beautiful colors, I immediately think of Derek from Satisfactual Sign Co. We just recently purchased some of his items, and I mean, they're just so cool. We've got a donut Mickey ears. We've got the Mickey waffle. We've got the Splash Mountain piece that he creates, and it's just amazing how much, you know, artwork goes into a place like Walt Disney World, and the paints and the colors and the vibrance of what this world is and what he's created, Walt Disney. It's pretty incredible. But Prince Charming, I like I said, it's not something that I need to do every time. I wouldn't even say it's something that I would probably do again until I have kids, but it's a cute ride. It's a cute attraction, beautiful music. So I would say 15 minutes is probably my max line here. Peter Pan and It's a Small World are in this next area here. And again, I'm sort of realizing, like, there's nothing else in my opinion here that Fantasyland could do with these two attractions. And if they did do something with them, they'd have to change that whole area. Fantasyland fits together so perfectly that I don't know that it could ever be anything else. So that's I don't know if it's a hot take or if anyone else feels that way. Let me know. Send me a message. Let me know what you think about Fantasyland being one of the best lands in well-constructed. It may not be your favorite, but it's definitely one of the most well-constructed areas of this park. And I don't know that there's any competition there. It's got the most amount of rides. It's got the most amount of theming. The theming makes sense. Yeah, I don't know. This is where someone to banter with I certainly miss. But I'll be curious if anyone else feels or feels any differently or feels the same about this particular park. So let's start with Peter Pan. This ride gets unbearingly long. I don't understand why it takes so long to get people on and off this ride. It seems like an attraction that would not take long at all. I sometimes wonder if, like, the cast members take like a big giant lunch break and then everybody is still like left waiting. I would say for me, this is my wife's favorite attraction in Walt Disney World. For me, I'm at 45 minutes. If it's anything more than that, I'm probably going to walk away, but it can get unbearingly long. 60, 120 minutes. It's absolutely crazy. So It's a Small World. I have a lot of really fond memories on this ride too. You know, going back to Tomorrowland Speedway, I think that it would be really neat to see Tomorrowland Speedway take a sponsorship from something like Tesla or something like Chevy and showcase their electrical made vehicles. You know, Tomorrowland, when you think about tomorrow, it would be cool if they could do something there. But with It's a Small World, fond memories that come to mind, this was my grandfather's favorite ride, and my grandfather was sort of tough at his core. Like he had a really hard exterior shell that was sometimes really difficult to break, and he was a lovely man, and it just, he would tap his foot, he would sing the song, he would take in all the elements of this particular attraction. And yeah, anytime I can get on there and see the elephant and the little hula girls and just sing the song, it just really makes me miss the times that I was able to go with my grandfather. And it makes the ride just a little bit more fun. And I think this will surprise a lot of people, but I'll wait 45 minutes for It's a Small World easily. Will I do it every time? No. And maybe that's another point that needs to be made here. Am I going to do this? Is this my line every time? No. Sometimes I walk by because I want to get down to Haunted Mansion, or I'm trying to get down to Splash Mountain. And that's why it's so important to just take things in as they come and what's comfortable for you. You know, if you're not comfortable waiting 45 minutes, you know, you can risk it and walk away. But at 45 minutes, if it's 45 minutes and I'm in the mood for that particular attraction, I'm definitely going to be waiting. So Haunted Mansion. Now here is quite possibly one of my favorite attractions within this park. And that isn't the People Mover. I would say I'm probably going to be waiting for the Haunted Mansion at 75 minutes. I would even venture to say I'd wait at 80. 80 minutes, I think, is my absolute max. Because every time that I go on to the Haunted Mansion, I see something different. I get a different feeling or sensation. There's this moment when you're looking down the long hallway and it's got the candlestick and it's kind of floating there. I swear every time I go, that candlestick is in a different location, or, you know, it just looks like there's some shadowy figure in the background. Like I try to take that particular attraction in for everything that it has. I could ride that 8 to 9 times in one day and still find something new to look at. I especially love when you go over the dining room scene and you see everyone dancing, and that to me, every time I go through there, there's another scene that I just look at and I go, oh my God, did I see that last time? Are you sure? And sometimes Jenna's like, it's the same thing, just to put me back in reality. But I sometimes just have that moment of like, I think that was different. And I just try to keep it to myself. But Haunted Mansion, 80 minutes, a great queue, great attraction. Even when you come out, there's cool elements to this ride. So definitely 80 minutes for this one. I would ride this one several times in one day if I could. When I leave Haunted Mansion, I do have sort of a couple different options. If I'm not stopping at Liberty Tree Tavern for the ooey gooey cookie crumble that they give out, I can head two different ways. I'm going to, just for the sake of being a little different, I'm going to head left and I'm going to head over to Aladdin's Magic Carpets. Now, here is another attraction that I just simply do not necessarily wait for. I don't know that I've been on since I was a little kid, and I would probably say that this is not something that I'm going to rope drop. I've seen this wait time go up as high as 30 minutes. I would say if you're waiting 30 minutes, you're probably waiting too long. I would say you could probably get this ride somewhere in the 10 to 15 range, and it would be comfortable. For me, if it's longer than 5 minutes, I'm not going to wait at all. And truthfully, at 5 minutes, I'm probably still going to walk by. Jungle Cruise. Here is another one where I'm okay waiting quite a while to get on this attraction. It's a lot of fun. The cast member makes the ride, which I think is phenomenal. All the punny jokes are really punny. And it's just a lot of fun. It's just a unique ride that isn't high flying. It isn't it isn't a Space Mountain. It isn't a Splash Mountain. It isn't a Big Thunder Railroad. I get that. And I get that that's what most people are going for. For me, I love the storytelling in this ride. I think it's a lot of fun. And I sort of do. I like to look at the elements of the storytelling in these different attractions that are a little bit slower, that have a little bit more to talk about. And I can bring it back to the People Mover. There's a reason why you see the things that you see. There's a reason why they bring you over the different things they bring you over. The story, they're trying to create a story for you. And I think what Disney does so well is they tell a story with everything that they do. And you may not see it, you may not notice it, you may not feel it, you may not think about that, but they tell a story in every single thing that they do. And while their theming may not be there always, and I give a really hot take about theming from the other park over in Universal, but the storytelling in Disney is spot on. It's so incredibly well done, and it's something that I think gets overlooked so frequently, but the storytelling in Jungle Cruise is one of my favorite stories. There's so many different cool elements to this. Now they're redoing the story, so I'm excited to see where it goes. I didn't hate that they were redoing the story. I think again, sort of similar to the next attraction that we're going to be talking about, that got a retelling of the story. Splash Mountain is going to get the retelling of a different story as well. So, and usually with that comes a lot of controversy, a lot of conversation. But for me, I'm always excited when there's something different because Disney does storytelling the best, and I'm excited to see where this story is going to go and how exciting it'll be to get new, maybe some new jokes or the same element of jokes in a different context or a different way. So, Jungle Cruise, I don't know that I gave a number yet, but I'm easily going to wait 90 minutes for Jungle Cruise. The next one, Pirates of the Caribbean. Here is another attraction that I absolutely love. Storytelling galore in here, and I think there's something just so incredible about when you go down that hill and you're next to the Black Pearl. There is no other feeling like that in the entire world, and it's very, very amazing. So for me, again, I'm gonna go he to excuse me, Pirates of the Caribbean with an expectation that if I have to wait 80 minutes, I would do it without a doubt. Splash Mountain. Now, this is probably Jen's least favorite ride, one of my favorite rides, and I would venture to say that for me, I'm probably gonna wait 65 minutes. I think for whatever reason, 65 is the number that I see the most up on this particular wall. So 65 for Splash Mountain. Again, I'm excited for Princess and the Frog to sort of overtake Splash Mountain. I think it's really exciting. I think that it'll be a breath of fresh air. And again, and I talked about it a little bit earlier with Derek, but the amount of visuals that go into this attraction are absolutely stunning. And I think that the Princess and the Frog actually brings another element that is also really exciting from a artistic standpoint. And for those of you that know, I'm colorblind. So, colors don't always necessarily sit right with me, and I can't talk about them in the same way or fashion or manner that everyone else can, but I still can appreciate them, and I can still look at them and see them for what I see them. To kind of give a side note, I always thought that I'd be like a colorblind artist. I always thought that would be really cool to like make my own pieces of art in the way that I saw it with the different colors and things of that nature, and see what people thought. But to get back on track, sorry, that was just a random thought. But Splash Mountain is definitely one of those that 65 minutes, I'm getting up there, I'm waiting, and if I'm with Jen, I can probably only get her to wait 10 to 15. So it's just a testament that everyone's a little bit different, everyone has a different opinion, and everybody is allowed to do that. Everyone's allowed to have their opinion on something. So last but not least, Big Thunder Mountain. This is an attraction that for me, I think what gets talked about a lot, and I've heard a lot of different podcasts, I've heard a lot of groups talk about this, is Space Mountain is the one that hurts everybody's back. It's Brokeback Mountain. And I don't necessarily feel that way. Brokeback Mountain is, in my opinion, this Big Thunder. I hurt my back more on this ride and feel as though it's a little bit more jarring over here than I do at Space Mountain. Which is why I'll probably only be willing to wait about 40 minutes for Big Thunder Railroad. I enjoy the ride. I think it's another one where it's great storytelling. And if you don't know the story around Big Thunder Railroad, look it up. I think it's worth looking up. But it's one of those that it just hurts my back. I leave there and I'm like, oh, I just feel stiff and just feel out of sorts after I get on off that ride. So that's it, Wolfpack. This is going to be a four-part series. I sort of mentioned it earlier. I just have felt lately that I didn't want to step on anyone's toes by having a guest this week. I do have a couple of guests that I've sort of put on hold, so you know who you are. I'm sorry. I've been super busy at work, and I've been trying to enjoy sort of my quote-unquote off days. So Sunday and Tuesday are my normal off days, and I've just been trying to enjoy them a little bit. So today I went golfing. On Sunday I went grocery shopping and got some stuff done around the house. And so for those of you that I've talked to and just said, hey, I need some time, need to put you on the back burner for a little bit, I appreciate you first and foremost, but I just needed to get a few solo episodes out of the way. It sort of reminds me why I started doing this, and I talked a little bit about that earlier. But again, I'll just say, just if there's something out there that you've wanted to do or you've wanted to start, just do it. Just put your nose out, put your head up, and do it. You know, there's really nothing stopping you except for you. And I do just hope that people heed that advice and hear it, because it's advice that I avoided for a really long time. And I can't stress enough how important it is to find something to help your mental health, because it's something that I think over the past year and a half, we all struggled with. We all had really crappy years. And I think it's important for us to get back to a sense of normalcy and also find something that's going to keep us sane and happy and just in a good mood. And this is my thing. This is something that I created when I was feeling blue about Disney. And I'm excited to say I've got a Disney trip coming up. I cannot wait to have a nice little vacation and to spend some time with Jen. We always talk about how when we get to go, it's one of our happiest moments. So I'm excited to be heading out with my wife pretty soon to the most magical place in the world. Wolfpack, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate every single one of you who listens week in and week out. I appreciate the feedback, the criticisms. Steve, I know you're listening, buddy. I appreciate you as well. And anytime someone reaches out and tells me that they're listening to the show and that they enjoyed it or they had a good conversation, or even if they disagree with something that I said and we get to have a constructive conversation about it, I really always look forward to that. So if you have any thoughts or you just want to say hello, please know that you're always welcome to. I genuinely appreciate all of my listeners, but I especially appreciate when my listeners share it out to someone that hasn't listened before and they get to say, hey, I liked what this guy talked about, or I disagreed with what this guy talked about, but we probably have a good conversation. So I certainly appreciate everybody who's been listening to the show continuously and giving me the feedback along the way. I love you all. I appreciate you all. And I'll just leave you with this, like I always do. Wolfpack, please remember to be kind, wash your hands, and we will indeed see you real soon. Wolfpack, a picture is truly worth a thousand words, and one thing we have talked a lot about in this show is making sure that you remember it. So whether you're coming to Disney or Florida or any of its surrounding areas, Hinson Photography specializes in vacation portraits for everyone. This is a wonderful souvenir that you and the ones you love will never forget. Visit www.hinsonphotography.com or call 386-478-8099. And when you get on the phone with John or his team, let them know that the Wolf sent you by using the promo code Wolf to learn more about booking a vacation portrait with Hinson Photography. Again, that's www.hinson photography.com.